It's 88.5 KCSN, and we are welcoming back friends today for a live performance, the Watkins Family Hour, and we have Sean and Sarah Watkins sitting right in front of me. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to take the opportunity, take me back as to when this first began and how it evolved, and what prompted you guys. Did it just materialize, or did you consciously say, hey, we want to gather
the Watkins Family Hour show?
Yeah.
No, it's a very specific, there's a very specific way it happened, and that was we discovered, you know, we grew up playing bluegrass and traveling around, playing festivals and shows with Nickel Creek, and we didn't really have too much of a, you know, a presence up here in L.A. We grew up in San Diego, you know, we knew there was a lot going on. We got invited by Glenn Phillips, a mutual friend of ours, to come sit in with him at Largo back in 2002 or so, or maybe 2001. And we just kind of fell in love with the place, and we started going all the time to hear John Bryan and comedians that were there. And we got to know Flanagan, who runs the place. And he pulled us aside one time after a night of sitting in with someone, and he said, hey, you guys should do a monthly show here, you know. And we were thrilled. And he said, you know, we'll call it the Watkins Family Hour. You guys can play covers, try out new songs, have guests, you know, just have fun. I don't care how many people come, but you guys should do a show. And we were just totally thrilled. And so we kind of, you know, threw together some friends that we knew from around and some songs. And we just started doing it, and it became, you know, a huge part of our lives very quickly. It was sort of the, and still is, like the sort of the anti-touring show, you know. And I think all of our musicians, you know, in the band, like Ben Montench and Greg Lees and Don Hevington and Sebastian Steinberg, we all kind of think of it as the opposite of what you do on the road, which is play the same songs, you know, every night, and sort of more of a rigid structure. So it's been a really nice relief from that for a long time. Although now we are taking it on the road and doing it night to night, but it's still pretty, you know, loose.
It has, through time, and through its, you know, growing reputation, first amongst the musicians, and then amongst audience members, expectations group. People could wanted to count on it. It became a thing where they knew there was a great spirit amongst the artists. How about the artists? There's been a plethora of artists, but who more routinely has come in and sat down? And how about some that came in maybe only once? Can you recall the old?
It's funny. Like I count on that too. I count on that spirit of it was for a very long time. This rejuvenating gig where we got to play with people who we didn't otherwise, you know. And for a long time now, it's been a perfect opportunity to, when you see somebody at a restaurant and you happen to be at the party with somebody who you know, but you know, you've never played together, and you know, it's awkward to be like, hey, come over and play with, like, let's have a jam. You know, that's not really what you do, but it was really great to be able to say, hey, that's a great song. You should come down next week. We're doing a show at Largo. Come play it with us. Let's do it. And it became a really great way to get to know a lot of the people in this community up here. At the time, we lived in San Diego, and we were still getting to know that stuff. And people touring through town, too. And, yeah, you know, a lot of the band used to be a lot more fluid. There was a lot of people who would just play once with us, and then, you know, they'd be out of town, and so they'd leave. And Jay Belrose would play with us. Pete Thomas played drums with us a couple times.
Ethan Johns used to come and play
Ethan
drums with
Johns
us a lot.
Ethan Johns did. Yeah. And Paul Bryan was playing bass, and
Mike Elizondo.
Mike Elizondo comes down and plays bass, and there's been a, you know, I couldn't even begin to count the guests who have just sort of showed up and played with us on a lark, you know, meeting people on stage. It's really been a big deal in our musical lives, having this show, having this excuse to just, you know, play with people in a really sort of low-key way that I think also allows great moments that you don't necessarily get if it's a polished touring show.
Yeah, let's take it's what musicians tend to do when they have a friendly gathering, and
yeah,
as you guys know, musicians usually have an instrument in their hand, even in
yeah,
a social setting. But this just so happens to be in what really is a family-like setting. I mean, that was the intent from day one.
Our goal is to sort of take what happens, you know, in living rooms and backstage at shows, you know, where you're having fun, talking, telling stories, take that out onto a stage and sort of try to retain that feeling of comfort and, you know, people can be vulnerable and try out new things. And so that's our goal. And, you know, and it still does happens a lot. Benmont has little jams at his house, and we'll meet new people and we'll learn new songs.
We've added to the repertoire.
Yeah, so we try to take that spirit and move it on to stage.
The
sometimes.
Nature of the monthly gig is that you know, you need to bring new things to the table. You don't
right.
want the audience to get bored, and you don't want to have to do the same songs every night. So we would be learning covers, and so you find great common material with other musicians, and also you just kind of, you know, it's been a really great thing to work for if there's nothing on the calendar, or if you can't really relax for too long because you need to learn like two
yeah.
or three or four songs for this gig. Standing down on Main Street across from Mr. Blues in my faded leather jacket and my weathered broken shoes. A chill north wind was blowing, but the spring was coming on, and I wondered to myself just how long. So I strolled across Old Main Street, walked down a flight of stairs. I stepped into the hall and saw that all my friends were there. A neon sign was flashing, welcome, come on in. It feels so good, feeling good again. My favorite band was playing an Otis Redding song. Sang the chorus, everybody sang along. Dan and Margarita were swaying side by side. I heard they were divorcing, but I guess they let it slide. And I wished I had some money with which to buy a round.
I wished I cashed my paycheck before I came to town. I reached into my pocket, found three 20s and a 10. Feel so good, feeling good again.
I was going to ask the impetus of the decision to finally, because, you know, the core, many of the core members, you'd been doing and playing and expanding. And the two of you, you know, we've talked in the past that you have broad musical tastes and parameters, which allows for a lot of, well, yeah, we'll take a whack at that sound, that genre, whatever. But the idea of... let's put this to record, and then, as you mentioned, well, let's take it on the road.
Yeah, I mean, it was very... we didn't have a plan when we started. The reason it all... the record happened was Sheldon Gomberg, a good pal of ours who has a really great studio in Silver Lake. I was working on a solo record with him. He was helping me mix it, and he was like, you know what, you guys should record the Family Hour. And I said, no, it's not really that kind of thing. We don't... it's just a live, you know, you got to be there to hear it, kind of experience. And he was like, no, seriously, come in for a few days, and, you know, even if you don't put it out, just for you guys to have, you should have some documentation of what you do. And so, you know, so we went in for 2 days and then another half day, and just recorded the covers that we've enjoyed over the years. And then we had it, and we still didn't know. We thought, you know, maybe we'd print up some vinyl and sell it at Largo or something like that at our shows. And then a short while after that, we were talking to Fiona, and she was sort of musing about, you know, getting out and playing some shows somehow, you know, not her own shows, but just getting out and having fun on the road. And we somehow came up with the idea to, you know, pick a few cities and sort of camp out in those cities for 2 to 3 nights. And then as we kind of moved forward with that, we realized we had a record. It was like, oh, yeah, we do have this recording. We could do that, too. And then... sort of turned into more shows and more touring and just sort of snowballed
from...
a proper record release. But we didn't really... I mean, we honestly remembered that we had the record after we were talking about playing shows.
But it's great because the whole idea has been, and it is a refuge, I think, for musicians. And it's also the spirit, the musicians you've gathered and yourselves, the flexibility, the capability that you have to be able to, in the moment, in a jam setting, to be able to say, what key's it in? Let's go
there. I know. And, you know, what genre is it? What style? And, yeah, these guys can really do anything. And it's been really great for us to have to learn how to do that, too. You know, I mean.
And it's also just really, I mean, it's a little selfish, too. Like, the best place to see music is... like on stage or on the side of the stage or in a really great tiny place like Largo for me. And you know, if Gabby Moreno shows up and David is there, David Garza, and they have amazing things that they can do as a duo. And I remember one night that happened like 6 months ago, and it was just like, oh my gosh, can you guys please do some stuff together?
And there's lots of moments where Sarah and I, like, you guys just play. We're going to, no, we don't want to play. We just want to watch.
We're just going to leave.
It's just a total selfish fan moment.
I've just reached a place where the willow don't bend. Not much more to be said. It's the top of the end. I'm closing the book on the pages and the text.
How did you sort of narrow it down to these songs? Were these songs that were really close to the band collectively that you'd really come to trust? Or did you think about,
No, we basically just showed up to the Sheldon studio. And you know, I remember Sebastian saying, so what are we recording? What are we doing? And I was like, I don't know. I've got a couple covers that we could, you know, that I like to do. And so basically, we just ended up doing the ones that have sort of stood the test of time with us. You know, like Early Morning Rain, is we probably played that the first show we ever did, Watkins Family Hour. And then Going, Going, Gone is a Dylan tune that I, you know, in the last couple years started having fun singing. And
Nottingham has been around for
Nottingham
time.
Has been in a little... Sarah
Jimmy Hardaway, David showed us a long time ago.
They're just ones that we've all... enjoyed playing and that we know sound good and
you can
that everybody can get behind.
Yeah, yeah, you can nail this one because it's like the back of your hand now. Yeah. You've come to really...
Yeah, and there's
songs the songs probably have evolved too as you've played them more times.
Yeah, they're always different depending on who's on stage with us. Yeah.
Well, the record is the Watkins Family Hour. It is available in stores and online. And tonight, I guess, is the kickoff of the tour. And a celebration of the release of the record and the notion of it's been real easy meeting all you guys at Largo over the years, but now we have to go travel with you.
Yeah.
And let's see how that flies.
And it's been really, really fun. We just did 2 weeks, and it's been amazingly fun. I think we're all happier on stage than we've ever been.
Well, that's, you know, nothing but joy, and that's something we've come to expect from both Sarah and Sean Watkins. Keep doing it, guys. We love what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for stopping.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.